Praise God. I'm getting cluttered up here. Hallelujah. You ready for the word today? Amen. We're going to continue in the book of Corinthians. As I said, we're going to go through the book of Corinthians. There's so much in this book. As I listened to it and read through it in our daily Bible reading, it was amazing. I titled this, Give Thanks to God. Because we should give thanks to God in everything, amen? But the more I got into this, and I didn't change the title, but I would really title it, No One Left Behind. Because I know it's the Father's heart that nobody be left behind when Jesus comes, amen? He wants everybody to go. Everybody, say everybody. Amen. Well, why don't you stand with me and let's read 1 Corinthians 1:4-9 this morning. That's not it. Did I put it in there? There it is. Okay. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this time of your word, I pray that, Lord, your gracious gifts would come alive inside of each one of us. Now, Lord, that we know that your faithfulness means that one day your son Jesus is going to come back for a church that is found blameless. And I pray, God, that in our hearts, in our spirit, in our flesh, God, that you would find us blameless. And Lord, that anything that's holding us back today, we could release to you, be forgiven of, and be made free. Father, let your hand be upon each one of us today, that we be transformed by the hearing of the word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. You know, when I was a kid, I think I was 14, and it was around that time when we moved to Corona, my older brother turned 16. And back in the day, you know, when you wanted a used car, you went down to Beach Boulevard. Amen. You went down to Beach Boulevard, and you went from lot to lot to lot. There were so many used cars lots on Beach Boulevard down there in Buena Park, man. So we'd go from the beach to the freeway looking at cars. And so my brother was 16, and my mom and dad wanted to help him get a car. And so, you know, there's six kids in my family. So at that time, my little brother was 3, and then there's 3 sisters, then there's me and my brother. So all 6 of us, we had a family van, a family wagon. It was one of them big bubble-top vans, you know, because that was the only way we could all get around in the day. So all 6 of us kids are in the back, mom and dad are in there. We're going from lot to lot. When we pulled up to a lot, we opened up that slider, and we all jumped out and went, look at cars, you know. So we got to one place, and we're looking around, and it's like, hey, where's Dave? And Dave was 3. Like, where is he? Couldn't find him. He went in the car, went in the parking lot. And so we all piled back in the van, and we went back to the previous car lot. And there's little Dave sitting there eating an ice cream, you know, because they gave him an ice cream to calm him down, you know, because nobody likes to be left behind. Can I hear an amen? We want, especially when you're 3 years old and you're freaked out, where's my mom and dad? Why'd they leave me, you know? And Delon and I, you know, when you get older and you start having kids, there's certain things you say you'll never do. And we lived up in Lake Matthews, and we had our girls, and sometimes Delon and I would drive separately, or I would meet her here from work for Wednesday night church and stuff. And I would think that she's taking the kids home, and she would think I was taking the kids home. And you know, that was back before the cell phone days. So we would get home, and there'd be phone ringing, and it's like, hey, you forgot your girls at church. It's like, oh my gosh, I think that scarred Carly, you know, about being left behind, because nobody likes to be left behind. Say left behind. Nobody likes that. And so it's a scary thing to be left behind. And Jesus does not want any of us to feel like he's left us behind. He wants to open the door to us so that we can go as far and deep with the Lord as you want. There's no limits to what God has on you. He He did not put any limits on you. He did not limit you from doing anything. We put our own limits on. We're the only ones that bind ourselves up because Jesus came to make us free. Amen? And he's given us many gifts that we need to be thankful for. We need to thank the Lord for all the gifts that he's given us today, especially his son Jesus. Amen? And Paul thanks God for the response of the Corinthians to the word he preached to them, that they responded so favorably to the word and the Corinthian church was started. So they put themselves in the position of not being left behind, but moving forward with God and the promises that he has for them. So the gift of salvation is the grace that God has extended to each one of us. Amen? It's for every person that believes. The grace is filled with unmerited favor and undeserved blessing. But no matter how you slice it, God's grace comes with favor and it comes with blessing. Amen? Whether it's unmerited or undeserved, I know I did not deserve what he's done for me, but he did it anyways when I committed my life to him. Amen? The favor that Jesus had, that we have, is that Jesus paid the price for our sins so we don't have to. How many of you are glad you don't have to pay the price for your sins? Oh, man, I love that. Oh, that excites me. So that none of us will be left behind in him because of what he has done for us. Now, Romans 10:9 tells us, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's what we're to do, and we'll be saved if you confess with your mouth. Now, I remember my dad was a rough guy, you know, and he almost died when he was 69. He was at Corona Community, blood pressure 70 over 20, and Delonda and I went in there, and I looked at my mom and said, what do you want him to do? She says, he wants to live. I said, okay, we laid hands on him, we prayed. 15 minutes, his blood pressure was 120 over 70. And the nurse even asked for my business card so I could come and pray when they have issues like that. It was funny. But my dad came back, we committed his life to Christ. You know, but it says to confess with your mouth. See, I believe we need to confess with our mouth in every area of our life. And my dad, they told him he had lung cancer after that. He said he had a spot on his lungs about this big. So, Delonda and I were in China at the time. And my dad came to church. He got prayer for it, and he went to the hospital. And when they went to go do the biopsy, they said, there's nothing there. Because they always take an x-ray before they do the biopsy going into your lungs, you know. They're like, there's nothing there. And my dad said, well, Jesus healed me. You know, I went and got prayer at the church yesterday, and Jesus healed me. That's why you can't find anything. And so he told the doctors, he told the nurses, he told everybody that would listen to him as he's going out of the hospital that day. He went to the restaurant. My dad loved Honey's. My dad always went to Honey's, and he went to Honey's with my mom. My mom said he told everybody in the restaurant about how God healed him. See, that's confessing with your mouth. Amen. See, we're so quick to confess with our flesh, but he confessed with his mouth because he believed God healed him. And that I believe that was that moment for him of that confession, not only confessing Jesus through saying, repeating a prayer after somebody, but he did it publicly to anybody who would listen to him that day. And to believe means that this kind of belief is to have faith that expresses reliance upon and a personal trust that produces obedience in Jesus. That we trust so much, we obey what Jesus is telling us. That's what the believing means. It doesn't come in, because even the demons believe that he exists, right? So what's different about our faith? My faith is that I believe so much, I just want to be wholly obedient to him. I want to be obedient to the point that I do everything he says. Now, Delonda and I are one. Amen? We're one. We've been married 38 years, and we're one in the Lord Jesus. But God doesn't tell me everything. I wanted to go see a movie. He says, Lord, I can't go see that movie. I said, well, I can't go see that movie either then, because we're one. Amen? So she says, I can't go see that. Because, you know, my first thought was, well, if she doesn't want to see it, then I'll let her go to another movie. I'll go see it, you know. But the Lord spoke to me, but you're one. So if I'm telling her not to go see it, you can't go see it either. And I'm like, well, amen, I won't go see it. You're like, what movie? How many of you want to know what movie she's talking about? Because this has happened the other day. The Avengers. This final one, the Lord told her, don't go see it. We don't know why, but we're not going to go. So if, unless the Lord says yes. But you know what? He doesn't change his mind, Alonda, so don't relax later on me and let me watch it, okay? Because if he says no, he says no. So, but when you believe, you want to be obedient, not only to this, wholly and completely, but to what he tells you too, amen? And sometimes it challenges you because she's like, I don't know why he doesn't want me to see it. We don't need to know why, but our curiosity gets us. Well, let me go see it, then I'll figure out why he didn't want me to see it, you know? We explain our junk away, our disobedience away. And so we're not going to see that movie ever. Oh, man. God help me if I ever see that movie right now. But the grace that Paul is thankful for is the grace that leads us to the path of being obedient to the Lord Jesus. Grace is not there so we can continue to sin. So that we can continue to do what we want. Grace is meant to bring us out of that. Amen? You know, I've had friends through the years who are like, hey, Ron, you want to go have a beer? I said, no, I don't drink. That's okay, man. God's grace is sufficient. I said, yes, it is. That's why I don't drink. God's grace is sufficient. I don't have to drink. I can sit there and drink water and be happy. Amen? I don't have to have alcohol to be happy. I'm happy all the time. My mom used to ask me, Ron, how are you so happy? I know what you're going through. I know your challenges in life. How are you so happy all the time? Jesus. I know him. Amen? So this grace is to bring us to the obedience of the Lord. And I thank God for his grace, that he's continued to extend it down for the generations, that when he found me, he didn't leave me the way he found me. He has since cleaned me up. He has since changed my life. He has since taken so many things out of my life that were ungodly. It's been a beautiful transformation for me. And probably for Delonda too, because I changed. Hallelujah. Right, honey? She knows. So, and because of this grace that we've been given, we're enriched. Enriched means to make wealthy or to make rich. So, when we've received the grace of God and believe in Jesus, we are made rich. Everybody say rich. Rich. So how? How are we made rich? Are you thinking, well, I'm going to get some money? You know, how are we made rich? As I told you before, the way that we're made rich, as the scripture says, in our speech and knowledge. We're made rich in speech and knowledge. And as I've told you before, the way I used to talk is not the way that I talk today. Because when I was younger and I was not serving the Lord, I wasn't serving the Lord, but I came to church. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever done that or doing that today? You served the Lord, but I mean, you came to church, but you weren't serving Jesus. I came here because I didn't want to get that phone call. People would call me. You know, one of the pastors would call me. Pastor Dave called me one day. He said, what church do you go to, Ron? Because I hadn't been there in a few weeks. I said, I still go to your church. He's like, really? I haven't seen you. And he talked to me for about 40 minutes. And I hung up that phone. I told Delonda, we will never get that phone call again. We can't miss them more than one Sunday. You know, we had to strategize it out, Pastor Jesse, so we wouldn't get the call. Because that conviction would be heavy. But he changed the way I talked. He changed the way I thought. As I dove into his word and I dove into prayer and worship, everything in me started changing. The way I communicated with people, I want to build and encourage people. I want to build them up towards Jesus. Amen. I go to the Taco Bell here. I love their coffee. So I go to Taco Bell in the morning, I get a cup of coffee. And so the lady there, she sees me, you know, just about every morning. Not every morning, honey. Except when you make me breakfast, I don't go. Sorry, Martin, it's not McDonald's. But I go to the Taco Bell, they make great coffee. And so the lady goes, well, I'll be off. You know, I won't be here tomorrow. I'm like, okay. I said, what days do you work? She goes, I work Sunday through Thursday. I said, when does that give you time to go to church? And she says, well, it's hard. And I said, well, I pastor the church right up around the corner. She goes, oh, I don't like that church. I said, have you ever been there to hear me preach? She's like, oh, you mean you're the pastor? She's like, I'm so sorry. I said, now you gotta come. So I went and got some coffee there this morning. I said, I'm on my way to church. But you know, when you take what's been put in you and you give it out, that makes you rich. That makes you rich. I mean, I listen to my sister Priscilla. She's a great evangelist. She's out on the streets leading people to Jesus all the time. Post office, wherever she's at, she'll lead somebody to be Jesus. She'll find somebody to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And Priscilla is the one that taught me to go door to door, to knock on people's doors and talk to them and stuff. And she just loves to spread the truth. She is so rich with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the Lord. And it just flows out of her. And she does not hold back from people. She has no fear. She doesn't care who she's confronted with, who the Lord brings her in her path. She opens up and she shares the love of Jesus. And she is wealthy, amen? She is a blessed woman of God. So when Jesus was with the woman at the well, you remember that? In John chapter 4, he's with the woman at the well, and he's convinced her of who he is. And she went back to get the whole village to come back to hear from this man. And the disciples had gone to town to get him some food. And they come back and they're like, hey, Jesus, eat. Eat, come on. We got this food for you. Eat. You got to be hungry now. And Jesus said in John 4:34, he said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus was so rich with words from heaven and the knowledge of who the Father was and what God wanted to do that fed his spirit. He was so rich with the presence of God that he couldn't wait to pour it out. He put aside his food for his own physical body so that he could have the opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus. Amen? That's so powerful the way that Jesus and the Holy Spirit will help us with our speech. He'll remind you of things. He'll tell you of things to come. He's put these gifts inside of us that we have the power of God that flows through us, that we can step out, we can pray for the sick, we can heal the sick, we can see them recover, amen? That God wants to flow through us, and he's given us the words to do it. Well, I'm happy about it. Come on now. So this takes us down the path of confirming the testimony of Jesus to be true. And all I'm doing is going through that passage I read. That the Lord confirms the testimony of us to be true as we give it out. We're not to hold back. We're not to hold on what Christ is doing in us. I love the opportunity to share what God is doing. I love it. I love to share Jesus with people. I love to share about the Holy Spirit with people. I have so many stories of miracles and wonders that God has done, and I love to just share it with people. I love to see their eyes get big, and I love to see them think I'm crazy. But I don't care, because there's one thing I can't deny, what Jesus has done. Amen. I can't deny it, and nobody that's been in those meetings can deny it either, amen? So there's so many people that have not seen miracles. They've not experienced praying in tongues. They've not seen the dead limbs come back to life. They've not seen the deaf hear. They've not seen emphysema leave people. You know, they've not seen thousands of people at a time get filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in tongues. But I have. I've seen it. So I have no doubt. I remember Delana laying hands on a lady with emphysema and it just leaving. You could tell because there was a rattle in that woman. And it changed it. I know one time, I get this joy in me sometimes that I laugh so hard. God comes on me and I laugh. And I ask God, well, why do you do that to me? I mean, because it's quite the spectacle. And I mean, when it comes, and I just don't fight it. You know, I let it flow. And I was laughing so hard. I had to pray. I ministered 3 days, 8 hours a day. And I had just prayed for 3.5 hours over people. And then they drove me to another place. I got there at 8 o'clock at night. They fed me. They said, you just rest until 9 and come in at 9. And I'd ministered all day. And come in at 9 and minister. So I hear them start to worship the Lord. I'm like, I need to worship. I went in and started worshiping. And 9 o'clock, I went to the pulpit. And I preached on the atonement for healing for about 40 minutes. I said, well, if you need healing in your body, come to the front. And then this laughter hit me. This joy hit me. You know what I'm talking about, Holly, Nikki, right? That laughter hit me, and man, I was going. My Chinese son, my translator there, you know, Delon and I adopted this young man in about 2007, and we didn't really adopt him. We just took him in as our son in the spirit. And so he's there with me, and I'm laughing. Now, I mean, there's nothing quiet about me. I could do this without a microphone. So I'm laughing. There's supposed to be 10 people there. There's 40 to 50 people there. I said, if you need prayer for healing, give me two lines. And that laughter hit me. And he grabbed me, my son, and he's like, are you okay, Dad? You all right? I'm like, yes, I am. And all I did that day was I laughed over people. And this lady comes to me and she says, well, the Lord healed me last night. My throat was closed and I couldn't breathe. Come to find out, she had emphysema. Because she had that for 10 years because she lived in a coal mining area. And it was just, you know, so when you've seen that thing. And first time I went to Peru, congregation of about 350 people in a movie theater. And I'm preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, come forward. Well, all 350 people came forward. I was like, what do I do, Lord? The Lord laughed at me. He said, aren't you glad you're not the one that fills them? Oh, yeah, this is easy. I don't have to do it. So I just prayed for the people, and I laid hands on every single one of them. And they were all filled. It was amazing, amazing time. And so we've seen this over and over, and miracles happening. Dead limbs coming back to life. Our sister Rose, she told me just a year and a half ago, she was here in a wheelchair, and she walked out. And I'm like, thought you could. I said to Joe, I thought Rose couldn't walk. He said, me too. And then she caught me later. She said, the Lord woke my leg up today. Like, praise God. That's awesome. So you don't want to hold back from doing what God has for you, amen? Let Christ be conformed in you by being transformed into the image of God and doing the will of the Father that He has for you, amen? Many people ask, what's God's will for my life? This. Communicating the kingdom of God, amen? Through the knowledge that you've gained, through teaching, through study, through prayer, through worship. God's will for each one of us is to communicate that to people. Jesus said, I've got to do the will of the Father. He wanted to finish the Father's work. And we have to finish it. We have to finish it. We have to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. That's God's will for your life. Well, how am I to do that? Just start serving. Serve anywhere. Serve, be a greeter, be an usher, do whatever it takes, but start serving. I was the best usher in the world. I love the usher. I love to open that door and smile at people, shake their hand, get them a seat, tell them babies to be quiet, you know. I love doing that, you know. I was good at being an usher. I love being a small group leader. I love every step in the church that God took me through. I love doing it. And it's just when you start serving, God will steer you in the direction He wants you. You just got to be active. You got to get active. Everybody say amen. Amen. You got to be active. So, and as you're active and you have that gift of salvation through grace, He gives you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives them to you. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles. Man, miracles are incredible. Prophecy, discerning of spirits. We had a long conversation the other night about, you know, discerning of spirits and casting out demons. And, you know, that's fun stuff. You see somebody get set free. We had this one guy in Japan get set free.
And then we prayed for his family. I put my hands on him and the demons in him started screaming. You can say, I don't know about that. Well, I'm telling you the truth. That's what happened. The demons in him started screaming. And I took my hands off. I said, because I was tired. The Lord said, don't leave him that way. But okay, and I stepped back up and I put my hands on him and it was on. And cast them demons out. But I didn't speak his language. And he was on his hands and knees. And I had my hands on his back. And he's literally vibrating off of the floor. The power of God was so heavy that day. I'm not kidding. It was so thick. And the associate pastor ran over to me and says, I think he's free. And I'm like, how do you know? And he's like, because he's saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I was going. And that man, he went and got his wife, and I prayed for them and their marriage. Then he went and got his kids. I prayed for the whole family. Then he went and he got me a bowl of food. And then as we were leaving, he chased the van down the street as far as he could run, just waving goodbye. I mean, that man found freedom in Jesus, and it was an incredible time. Amen. So with discerning of spirits and then different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. You know, we need those things. We need all these gifts working in us, and they're given to us freely. But the Holy Spirit distributes them. So when you feel like God's stirring you with something, with a word, come and give it. You awake yet? Come on, it's 11:15. You come and give it. Some of you have been sitting on your hands. You've not been willing. You've been holding back. You need to get sure of who God is in you. You need to be sure of who God is in you. Because when you're sure of who God is in you, you'll start saying things. You'll start speaking up. You'll write it on a note at least and give it to me. You'll do that because when you're sure of who God is in you, that he's speaking to you, you won't want to hold back. I got a word of knowledge one day. That there was somebody here that had lost their taste buds. And I'm like, really, Lord? But I'm more afraid not to give it than to give it. So I came up, I said, there's somebody here that's lost their taste buds, and the Lord wants to restore them today. So one lady lays her hand, came forward, got prayer. Another lady told me the next day, well, Pastor, that was me. But I didn't want my taste buds back because I don't eat as much now. Okay. Well, you know, sometimes God tells you things, and I want to just be obedient, amen? I don't want to hold back. If I come up here and there's nobody that needs their taste buds restored, I'm good with that. All I want to do is do my part, amen? And then what you do with what God tells me to tell you, that's your part. And he's telling you to learn to communicate the gospel of Jesus to the world with the knowledge that you have of Christ. That you stop holding back and stop waiting and wondering, was I supposed to say something? How many have ever, you didn't say something and you found out later you were supposed to say something? Anybody here ever done that? Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, I was in Germany one time. The Lord told me the guy's name, down to his name. And because I was sitting on one side of the church and he was on the middle of the aisle, and God told me this guy's life story. And he said, and his name is Tim. I'm like, well, I got up and I ministered. And I said everything. And then I asked him, I said, what's your name? Stupid. I said, what's your name? He goes, Tim. I'm like, oh, man. I go, I'm so sorry. He goes, why? I said, because the Lord told me your name was Tim. And I didn't have the guts to say it. I confessed right then. I got it. I had to get it under the blood. I wasn't obedient. And then everything that came into my spirit, I said. I didn't care after that. I'm like, Lord, whatever you tell me. I ministered till like almost midnight that night, praying over all these service people over in Germany. And I just flowed. He told me everything about people. And I was amazed at God. But the gift flowed through you. Then he gives you the fruit. How many of you love the fruit of God? I love the fruit. Pastor Jesse and I went to a place one time, and we ministered 5 days, 8 hours a day. And I know they wanted us to come minister about the gifts of the Spirit, about prophecy and everything. And they wanted us to prophesy and everything. I said, listen, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you can't do the fruit of the Spirit, don't use the gifts. If you can't love people, you know, if you're mean-spirited, don't use the gifts because it's going to give Christians a bad name. So, we, you know, the
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's what God has given us. These are gifts to us, amen? These are things that He's given to us to let the light of Jesus shine through us so that we can bring the revelation of who Jesus is to the people in the world. And when the people that are closest to you see you being transformed, they'll wonder what is going on with you. Amen? They'll look and they'll want to see. So that when Jesus comes back, He's going to be looking for people that have faith. Amen? Faith in Him and who He is. And He's going to take them with Him to heaven. The Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive in Christ will go with Him. That there'll be the resurrection of the dead, and that those who are alive in Christ will go and will be forever in eternity with Jesus. But you'll be with Jesus with purpose. It's not going to be just, oh, I'm in heaven, I got my mansion, I'm going to kick back for the rest of my life. No, you're being saved, we're being saved for purpose to serve the Lord even in heaven, amen? That some of you, He's preparing you to be captains, you know, commanders and generals, or, you know, to rule and reign with Him, amen? No, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. We're not just going to kick back and float on clouds and play a harp. Ain't going to happen, man. You'd be warriors. So the Holy Spirit has been sent here to help us to be obedient to the words of Jesus so that when He comes, He finds us blameless. Everybody say blameless. The blood of Jesus washes us clean, and the idea is to stay clean. We went to Colorado a few years ago. We rented a house up there and right at the base of Pikes Peak. And Greg and Carly, from my daughter and son from Kentucky, came over here, came over to Colorado, and they brought the four boys with them. And so we're there in this house, beautiful three-story house in Colorado for a few days. And there was a stream that ran through the backyard. You know, and I don't like to limit my boys. So, you know, when we were discovering the stream and we were down there, I'm like, go ahead, jump in. They're like, what? Go jump in. And they're like, really? Yeah, I'll take the hit from your mama. Like, all right. And they jumped in the stream. And they were playing in the stream and the water and everything. Just having a great old time. Looking for fish, looking for gold, you know. They're just having a blast. Just playing in that stream. You know, so we were getting ready to go somewhere. So we all showered up and got dressed up and everything for where we were going. And Micah went out the slider, went down to the stream. Yeah, no problem doing the stream, but he jumped in. And he went down the stream a ways. I started looking for him. I'm like, hey, where's Micah? And I went out the front door, and I'm walking down. I'm looking at the stream and stuff. And there he is in the water, all dressed in his clothes and everything, in the water. And I'm like, buddy, we're leaving. You got to get back in that shower, and you got to get a change of clothes on because you ain't getting in our car all wet. You see, God doesn't want us to jump back in the stream of sin. When He takes us out and He cleans us up, He doesn't want us to go back to it, amen? Even though the Bible refers to it as a dog going back to his own vomit. He doesn't want us to do that. He has extended this grace to us to wash us, to cleanse us with the blood of Jesus, that we are blameless before Him, amen? That we can stand blameless before Him. And that's a beautiful thing. Galatians chapter 5, 19, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. You know, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when you look at the New King James, that's in the New Living. When you look at the New King James, it says, those who practice, and what that practice means is to perform repeatedly or habitually
Such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we come to Jesus and we get saved, we should not continue to do those things that offend God. Thank you, Pastor Jesse. Amen. We should not continue because Christ come to make us free from that. Amen. So when we come to Jesus, we get free from those things, and he doesn't want us to go back to it. Now, listen, the Corinthian church wasn't perfect. Half of what we're going to talk about as we go through this is their junk. How many of you had some junk in your own life, huh? So I'm probably going to touch on some of that as we go through this, but it's going to talk about the Holy Spirit. It's going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. It's going to talk about how to operate in the church in the Spirit. It's going to talk about speaking in tongues. There's so much it's going to talk about. Corinthian church wasn't perfect. We're not perfect. But the idea is that as we submit to the Lord, we're being perfected. We're being to the point of being blameless. So that when he comes back, he says, wow, look, there's David. He's blameless. There's Tom Maurice. Come on up. There's Pastor Jesse. Come on up. Wait, could you imagine if he said, who's that guy? Well, he pastors the church. Yeah, but I don't see him. I'm looking at my book here. I don't see him. I point at me because I never pointed any of you like that. Because I believe that, you know, we want to all go, amen? None of us want to be left behind. So just remember, God is faithful. That's what the pastor said. God is faithful. He performs his word for you, amen? It goes both ways, though. If we don't receive his grace in this life, he'll follow through with the punishment that's stated in his word. If we don't do what we're supposed to do before the day of our funeral, it's too late. We have to go all in with him now. Because his intent is that no one be left behind. No one be left behind. When we receive his grace, all of our sins are forgiven and we're set free. Amen? And he takes us into our purpose for heaven. When you get there, like as I said, you will have purpose in heaven. You're not going to sit on that cloud and play that harp. You're going to be active. And if you hear my voice today, God has called you out. He's calling you so that you will not be left behind. So in conclusion, he has given us the gift of grace for salvation, that we can all be saved. That we to believe, and this kind of belief is to have faith that expresses reliance upon and personal trust that produces obedience. We are made wealthy in speech and in knowledge. We have a testimony in Jesus Christ. Everybody say testimony. You have a testimony, amen. If you're here today and you're born again, you have a testimony. You say, well, I didn't do bad things and everything. I just know I needed to come to Jesus. Well, praise God. Just declare, I didn't live a life of sin, but I saw my need for Jesus. Amen. That's a test. Every one of us has a testimony. And we're all giving gifts as we come to the Lord. You're giving gifts to use for the power of God, to do supernatural work for Jesus. Amen. And we're to use these gifts to keep people from being left behind. That is our finishing work, to save people from being left behind. And Jesus will find us blameless on that day of his return. And always remember, God is faithful. Amen. No matter where you're at in your walk today, even Pastor Jesse said that earlier, good or bad, God is faithful to perform his word. He will do it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that you do not desire to see anybody left behind. But Lord, that we would all have the knowledge of Jesus Christ that will save us. When that day comes that you come again, we'll be ready. Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit would just search all of our hearts today so that we could be ready. With the heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, maybe you're here today and you're not so sure you'd be found blameless on that day when He comes. Either you haven't given your life to Him or you know there's things in your life that you need to give to Him today. You need to be ready because He doesn't want to leave anybody behind. If that's you today, just raise your hand right now because we're going to pray for you. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Four people. Five people. Amen. Why don't we stand this morning? If you raised, I'm going to ask you to make one giant step forward and just come to the altar here today if you raised your hand. Even if you didn't, but you want to make that commitment today, just come on right now. Come with us down here. I'm going to ask that the altar workers would just come up behind them today. Come on right up front here. Somebody come over here behind them, ladies. There you go. Father, we thank You for these lives today, God. Lord, I know many of them have been in church, been involved, Lord, and today they just want to know that they're going to be found blameless before You. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus, that He died for me, that He rose from the dead. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. I commit my whole life to You. Come into me today. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I love You, Jesus. I want to be blameless today. Holy Spirit, give me strength that I'll be blameless tomorrow. I'll be blameless the next day. That I'll be found blameless when Jesus comes. I love You, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You just turn around and let them pray for you this morning. Pray over you. No one left behind. That's a soldier's motto. And you are soldiers for Jesus Christ. And I challenge you to take the speech and the knowledge that Jesus has given you and go to use it in the world today, tomorrow, and tomorrow. Don't just barbecue and have fun, but take a moment and remember the way we did today. God bless you. Father, I pray a blessing over this congregation today as they go. I pray You cover them, protect them, and keep them and bless them, Lord. Lord, that they'd be safe, Lord, and that Your hand be upon them. Give us words of life to speak out as we gather with family and friends this weekend. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, you don't got to go. We got refreshments. If you're here for the first time, go see Don Maurice. We connect corners.